1027 Business with Michael Avery.
It's nearly half a century since the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, imposed an oil embargo on America, and it turned a modest inflation problem into what is, we know now, a protracted bout of soaring prices and economic misery. But the stagflation of the 1970s is certainly back on economists' minds today. They're confronting strengthening inflation, slightly disappointing economic activity, but we do see the voices warning of unsettling echoes of the past or influential ones. We've got the likes of Larry Summers, Kenneth Rogoff of Harvard University. We've got Mohammed Al-Erian, previously PIMCO, now with Cambridge University. So it's certainly something that financial markets have been abuzz with. And it's a great pleasure on the back of that and the latest IMF World Economic Outlook, which was released last week, to welcome Tertia Jacobs, Treasury Economist at Investec, to Hot Business to talk about the big picture issues of the economy. Welcome, Tertia. Let's start with stagflation. Are stagflation fears overblown? Because while I'm seeing economic numbers miss, they're not missing by much. So there is certainly growth out there.
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the stagflation, it's apparently appearing more often in Google searches, right, than a very long time. And that's after a very long time of very low inflation. So I think, you know, where you mentioned the 1970s stagflation, I mean, that was basically driven by, production declining in the world economy, unemployment remaining very high, and that up with the higher wage demands propagating inflation, right? I think what's different today is, yes, there's definitely a supply shock, and that, you know, as we all know, is a function of the lockdowns for the various COVID breakouts in various regions of the world. But on the other side as well, there is a demand dynamic, and that was driven by, massive policy stimulus. So it's a combination of supply and demand that's not in equilibrium, that's not balanced at the moment.
Tertia, on that point, you know, what do you think central banks are going to be focusing on right now? Because you've just mentioned there's been this extraordinary stimulus in the wake of the pandemic. We're seeing a mismatch in terms of supply and demand, all kinds of things behind that, supply chain issues and the like as the economy opens up again. If you're a central bank governor around the world, what are you focusing on right now?
Look, I think, you know, everyone is somewhat nervous, although most of the central bankers, you know, continue to stick now that inflation could remain higher for longer, but they do expect it to come back in the second half of next year. And I mean, the IMF, you know, they've said they see inflation returning to pre-pandemic levels, but at the same time, you know, there is also a high a level of uncertainty attached to these forecasts. So I think what's guiding the major central banks around the world, and that's basically, you know, the Fed, the ECB, the UK, the BOE is getting more nervous. They're ready to fire the first salvo. But they're very much focused on inflation expectations because, you know, inflation expectations are what propagate, wage increases, you know. In the past, you know, you mentioned the 80s as well, you know, so high inflation resulted in very high wage settlements, and then that was fed into your input cost. And so, you know, inflation turned into a vicious circle. So I think for now, where they draw some comfort from, you know, surveys, it's basically that your 12-month inflation outlook or expectations are high, but then your second and your third year comes back to their target points. But I do think the big risk is, you know, if inflation stays high for longer, and I think that is where, you know, the likes of Larry Summers are coming from, is then before you know, you've got an inflation problem.
And that's where we worried here about the sustained energy crisis, because that could certainly fan the embers of inflation that have been burning as a result of the reopening, but are expected to be snuffed out in the outlying years, 2-3 years down the line. If we see the sustained energy crisis being prolonged for an extended period of time, surely that then becomes a deep worry.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's like this. It's also called the greenflation, you know, like this whole move to a green economy is actually requires more coal in a way. So I think that's also one of the major uncertainties. And also, you know, where you talked about OPEC Plus, disappointed the market was by not increasing production in, well, more than the 400,000 barrels that they actually raised it by. So one would have thought that they would have also increased supply, but that's now also a big unknown going forward. So I guess there's upside risk to energy prices as well.
And what we saw in that IMF World Economic Outlook, which was published last week, was a slight downgrade of global economic growth, but a decent upgrade for South Africa's growth. And that's largely on the back of this commodities super cycle that we've seen. And it's interesting to note that on the back of the debate that we're having in the country currently, and I'm sure you would have read Colin Coleman and his co-authors, Noriel Rubini, and that fellow from PIMCO in the Business Times yesterday, saying that we really need to think out the box here. Austerity alone is going to be insufficient. And they propose taking some of this windfall, this 100 billion rand extra that we've collected thanks to the commodity cycle, and feeding it back into some form of basic income grant. Where do you stand on how we get some Africa growing sustainably from this point? Because it really does come down to confidence, doesn't it? What sort of structural reforms could deliver this kind of confidence now, Tertia?
So, you know, the increase in the IMF for South Africa to 5% is now roughly in line with, you know, most of the South African economists as well. And, you know, in addition to, you know, what you mentioned, the commodity boom, you know, it's also driven by the reweighting and the rebasing of our economy, you know, that increased the size of nominal GDP by 11% last year, right? So that's a very welcome dynamic. But now, in terms of the growth outlook for next year, you know, the folk forecasts are basically back to 2%. So, and I mean, what goes into that 2% is, you know, a moderation in consumption, you know, a moderation in private sector fixed investment. So it's absolutely the fixed investment side that needs to accelerate. And, you know, we always come back to President Ramaphosa's infrastructure program. And, you know, there is the low-hanging fruits, and that is the auctioning of data spectrum. So when is that going to happen? You know, so there are some easy wins here, but it's unfortunately such a prolonged, drawn-out dynamic to get to that point. So, you know, for us, it always comes back to the execution of policy.
And imagine if we could show a bit of requisite urgency, how that would feed into the confidence narrative. As you say, we've been talking about spectrum, we've been talking about the Eskom balance sheet, all of those network industries that under the previous finance minister were laid bare. We now have the new finance minister talking about them again ad nauseum. Less talk and more action. Tertia Jacobs, Treasury Economist at Investec, running the rule over the recent IMF World Economic Outlook here on Hot Business. And that's a wrap from me. Can you believe it? Only 9 Mondays left till Christmas. Where is this year going? We've got the lovely Carolyn Stain up next with Hot Classic. Till tomorrow, good night.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.